two passages in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5 and 2 Peter chapter 1. Galatians chapter 5, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm preaching out of a different Bible tonight, so it may take me a longer time to get to the passages. And you say, that's okay, it'll give me longer, right? So give you longer to find them too, so that'll be all right. But Galatians chapter 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read a couple of verses in both places. Galatians 5, verse 22, all right? Galatians 5, verse 22. The Bible said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, won't you look at verse 5. The Bible said, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Here in these two passages of Scripture, I want you to notice the word temperance. That word temperance, it shows up as a fruit of the Spirit, and then it is in the list of things that the Bible says needs to be added to your faith, all right? This thing called temperance. Now, most of the time, probably, I don't know if you think about temperance, if you've got a historical bent and you look back, there was a time where there was a strong, in the early part of the last century, there was a strong temperance movement, and that movement was all about outlawing liquor, all right? And so that was the temperance. But the word temperance can apply to that, but the word temperance really, what it is self-control, all right? The ability to control yourself. And that's what I'm going to preach to you tonight. I want to preach to you about wisdom, about self-control. Self-control, I think, is kind of looked down on today. It's not promoted because we live in a day of self-indulgence, you know? Just do whatever. Just have your own way. Do what you want to. That's what your flesh says. Your flesh says, do your own thing. It says, do it now. Don't wait. It says, you won't get caught. And it says, live it up. Well, self-control comes at it from just the opposite, all right? It's just the opposite. It says doesn't do that, all right? It says you don't do your own thing. You need to do what God wants you to do. It says you don't do it now. You need, there's some things you need to wait, okay? You need to learn to wait. You say, well, like what? Well, one thing, if you need to wait till you get married to engage in the physical relationship that's reserved for marriage. You need to wait, all right? People don't like to do that. And flesh says you won't get caught. Well, the Bible says be sure your sin will find you out. You can count on it, all right? So self-control comes at it from just a little different view. Now, there's a lot of people in the world that have trouble with self-control. There was one great individual in history known as Alexander the Great. And he was given that title because of his ability as a military leader. He began at the age of 21. He conquered an empire that stretched from Greece to India. It was larger than all the earlier empires that had ever been. But the problem is, one thing he couldn't do was he couldn't control himself. He had a hard time controlling himself. And because of that, partially, at least partially because of that, he died at 32 years old. All right, died at 32 years old. He said, why? Well, a lot of it's because he had spent so much of his life in one drunken party after another. And he even killed his best friend. Literally, his best friend. And he threw a banquet for him to honor his best friend, who was one of his generals in the army. They got into an argument. He got into a rage, took a spear and ran it through him and killed him. He was so shocked at what he had done that he even considered killing himself. Hey, Alexander the Great wasn't all that great. And one of the reasons, he couldn't rule himself, all right? Now, I just want to speak to you tonight really about several battlefields where we face this issue of self-control. And really three of them in particular. And the first one, if I was to let you guess, most of you would guess it, all right? It has to do with temper. Temper. When we think of losing control, that's where most people think of, all right? And most of us have lost our temper at some point or other in time, right? We've lost it. And unless you're that especially blessed individual that you just have an even keel all the time, no matter come what may, you just don't do it. My wife, she's been married to me 42 years. She thinks she knows me. So there have been times when something's going on and she thinks, man, he's going to get mad. She'll say it quietly so nobody, now just take it easy. Take it easy. I don't know where she gets that. I've never lost my temper in my whole life. Well, yeah, I did. All right, I've had that problem. I want you to take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 25, would you? Proverbs chapter 25. I'll tell you, though, one thing I did to help my temper, I quit coaching. And if you don't coach, you don't have to lose your temper so much. The kids, I told them, y'all make me aggravated. So I just want you to look at some things with me tonight, all right? Proverbs chapter 25, look at the very last verse in that chapter. The Bible says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. A person who has no control, no rule over his own spirit, all right? That lack of control truthfully indicates insecurity and weakness. There's a great example of it in the Bible. That's King Saul. King Saul is a good example of a man who lacked self-control. And I think a lot of that, he struggled with that temper because a lot of it was insecurity. You say, what do you mean? He was king, but he had that insecurity regarding David. Because he knew the prophet of God had said, God's taken that kingship away from you, and he's given it to somebody else. And Saul had heard him chanting about David. Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And the Bible said, man, he kept his eye on him from that day forward. That insecurity, all right? And he had a weakness. He was weak in many areas, all right? And it showed up. He was weak. He would not wait on God, all right? Didn't have that ability of self-control. So when the Bible says here, he that hath no rule over his own spirit, your spirit has to do, if you will, with your affections, your appetites, your passions. And when it says it's like a city that broken down without walls, a city broken down without walls. In those Old Testament times, that city couldn't fulfill its purpose. And when you're like that and you can't rule your own spirit, you can't fulfill the purpose God has for you either. We lose it, all right? And we lose that temper. That city, when it's like that, gets infested with weeds. You say, well, I'm not going to get infested with weeds. No, but you open yourself up to very destructive things because you can't control your temper. All right? You do not have good control of yourself, and it opens you up to all kinds of destructive things in your life. I mentioned to you Saul. Saul ruined his life because of his own lack of self-control, all right? Just couldn't do it, all right? Now, notice what the Bible said in Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16, look if you will with me in verse 32. Proverbs 16, verse 32. The Bible says this, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. God says, man, if you control yourself and you're under control, you're better than a mighty conqueror. You're better than a mighty conqueror. Resisting the urge to turn your emotions loose. All right? Resisting that urge to just turn loose and let it go. All right? Well, out of control. I've heard it said of kids, well, they're out of control. They probably learned it from their parents. We get out of control, all right? You shouldn't be that way, all right? Well, when the only way to resist that urge, it takes some courage. It takes a thing called discipline. Discipline. Now, we usually think discipline is what somebody does to you. But truthfully, discipline is what you do for yourself. You do for yourself. You that are here that have been in the armed forces, the first thing they do when you go in is welcome you with a kind, sweet word. All right? Oh, man, you were hauled into that place and wherever it was, and you were greeted with a shouter and a guy chewing you out and jumping on you. They put you through all of that to put discipline into you. To put discipline into you. Hey, it takes that if you're going to resist the urge to just turn your emotions loose. It takes some strength on the inside. King Saul didn't have it. But I'll tell you, young David did have it. David did have it. I don't know how much you remember and how much you're familiar with how Saul went after David, tried to kill him, chased him around. And several occasions, David had the opportunity, had he wanted to, he was easily within striking distance. And I don't mean run into it. I mean, he's close enough to just reach out and could have killed him. But he didn't. One reason he didn't, he had self-control. He had the ability to control himself, all right? Self-control, man, it's so important in your life. Look in chapter 15. Chapter 15 of Proverbs. Look in verse 18. Chapter 15, verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife. But here it is again. He that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Hey, listen. Self-control helps you to keep things calm. Helps you to keep things in line. All right? Just helps you to keep it that way. Uncontrolled temper leads to all kinds of strife. We, sometimes at Christian school and any other school, kids lose their temper and there's strife. And it's, well, they did this or he did that or she did that and they just lose their temper. It causes strife. Hey, it'll cause strife at your house. You lose your temper. You just lose it. Now, our problem is we all feel justified. I wouldn't have done it except for you. They didn't make you lose your temper. You turned loose of it all by yourself, okay? And they didn't make you do that. You're going to get into problems. You do it on the job. You're going to get into problems. Hey, it'll give you a reputation you don't want. Give you a reputation you don't want. Hey, there's an individual cannot control themselves. They can't control themselves. Give you that reputation. Even to the point, well, there they go again. There they go again. It'll cause you to want to get even or settle a score with somebody that's hurt you. And I say this to you, it's best not to do that. That'll never help the situation. Never help the situation. We look at a Bible character. You talk about somebody that I look at and think, you talk about having self-control. That was Joseph. Think about Joseph. His own brother sold him into slavery and threatened to kill him. That was the original plan. And one of the brothers said, let's don't do that. Let's make a profit off of him, you know. And if we kill him, nobody makes anything. So let's sell him. And they did. And then years later, Joseph looks up and there comes his brothers. And Joseph's in a position, you talk about in a position to get even. Oh man, could he have gotten even. He could have nailed every one of them. But he displayed self-control. Don't you think about it. He helped save a nation of people because he controlled himself. Controlled himself, all right? Look in Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Should just look at chapter 19 and verse 11, and just the first part of that verse. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Then go back to chapter 14, verse 29, would you? Chapter 14, verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Listen, self-control is a sign of a sensible and a wise person. That's what the Bible tells us. It's the mark of a sensible person, a wise individual. Now, we all get angry. If you're here and you never get mad, I need to talk to you, all right? I need to know how you do it. We all get angry. Hey, I'm not going to ask you to show your hands, but I've gotten mad just about everywhere, and I bet you have too. You've gotten mad in a restaurant before, right? You got mad. You got mad at Walmart. Maybe you got mad at the gas station. I got mad the other day at a parking lot. He said, how can you get mad at a parking lot? Well, it's because one of those you can't pay anymore. There's no individual to pay. Instead, there's a sign that says, go through all this hassle and you pay on your phone. Well, what if I don't have a phone, all right? Well, let's just assume in the world you can't live without one. So I was trying to do it. I went through everything it said to do, and it started going in a circle. Go back to this. I thought, forget it. Forget it. You know, that was one of those times when my wife said, now take it easy. She thought I wasn't going to lose it, but I was mad. I was aggravated about that whole deal. And yet, you can get mad anywhere. Now, don't look at me like you never do, all right? We have a tendency to do it. The key is to keep a lid on it. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, doesn't say it's wrong to be angry. It just says be angry and sin not. Now we say amen in the middle of the verse. Be angry, amen, preach it! All right. But that, and sin not. Move along. What's the next point, all right? Hey, look, if you will, over in the New Testament, the book of James. James chapter 1, would you? James chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says here. We get things upside down and backwards oftentimes. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Well, we're just the opposite. We're quick to speak and quick to speak and very quick to get mad. You know? We ought not do that. Instead, we ought to be swift to hear and slow to wrath. All right? You say, preacher, tell me how to do it. I'm going to tell you something. This is a personal experience. It's not Bible. Okay, that's just personal experience. One of the things helped me to conquer my anger was making a fool of myself. In front of a bunch of school kids, coaching a ball team. And I realized what I'd done, so I went and apologized to the referee. It wasn't his fault. It was my fault. Then I had to look all those girls in the face and say, I was dead wrong. And I said, I don't want y'all to follow my example. And I want you to forgive me. And it was right there I decided, I'm not doing that again. I'm not going to do that again. It embarrassed me. I think it put a bad face for the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, man, I don't want to do that. And I guess if you make a fool of yourself enough, you can conquer it. But if you're smart, you'll decide, I'm going to conquer it before I make a fool of myself. I'm going to get things under control, you know. I'm going to get things under control. Now, some of you may be sitting there wondering, well, preacher, what did you do? That ain't none of your business, okay? I didn't curse the umpire out or anything like that. I just made a fool of myself, all right? Hey, temper, self-control. Learn to control your temper. Learn to control your temper. All right, number two, James chapter 1. You still there? Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Some of you may be thinking, preacher, if it's going to be like this, and I knew it, I wouldn't have come tonight. Right? Now, this is not something you can avoid. This is not something you can run from. I mean, this thing's hit us right where we live, okay? If you're going to be in control, you have to control your temper, but you have to control your tongue, all right? Look in James chapter 3. Here's why it's so important. James chapter 3, look at verse 5. Man, if somebody said, well, I can't understand the Bible. I bet you understand these verses. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. You drop down to verse 8, okay? Drop down to verse 8. The Bible said, but the tongue, well, let me read verse 7. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Maybe I shouldn't have read that verse because you said, see there, preacher, got an excuse. Bible says no man can tame it. I didn't say contain it. I said control it. Control it, all right? Just control it. Why? Because you can do so much damage so quickly when you lose control of that tongue. I believe this. I believe there's couples wound up in divorce court because of the tongue. We say things and we hurt people. We say things and we hurt people. And the bad thing is, once it's out, you can't reel it back in. I mean, it's been said. It's like sticking something out on the internet. You can take it down, but it's still there. All right? Look, that what you say comes out of your mouth, it hurts people and hurts you, cause all kinds of problems. Hey, what does the Bible say? Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Now, this is so profound, I may have to stop right here with this point, all right? There's just such a profound verse. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. Now here's the part I want you to get. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. So what do you mean? Sometimes silence is needed. It's not always necessary to put in your 2 cents worth. Let me say that one more time. It's not always necessary to put in your 2 cents worth. Just, that's not a requirement. You don't have to do that, all right? Calvin Coolidge was a president. He was well known for being short, you know. And he made this statement. He said, I've noticed that nothing I never said ever did me any harm. Nothing that I never said ever did me any harm. Hey, it's not what you don't say that gets you in trouble, all right? For the most part. Many people, though, have never learned that truth. They didn't do it. But the Lord gave us an example of that. Don't lose your place in Proverbs. We will be coming back. But I want you to go back over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, way over at the end of the New Testament. All right? The Lord gives us an example that sometimes the best thing to do is just not say anything. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 23 of 1 Peter 2, the Bible says, "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Just don't say anything. There is a time to speak up, but there's also a time to shut up. And a lot of us, we have a hard time grasping that time to shut up, you know. Just, we can't do it. Just have trouble being silent. We think everybody needs the benefit of my vast experience or my opinion. Man, a lot of times, don't say it, all right? You say, "Well, how in the world am I going to control my tongue?" Psalms chapter 141, the 141st Psalm. We're going to look at just a few things that will help you to control that tongue, all right? To help you control it. Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. Notice what the psalmist David said. He said, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Now that business of keeping your mouth, setting a watch, carries with it the idea of thinking very carefully before you speak. All right? Thinking very carefully what you say before you say it. Man, how often we get in trouble because of what we say. Just what we say. Look back in Psalms 17. Psalm 17, the 17th Psalm. Psalm 17, look at verse 3. Psalm 17, verse 3, really looking towards the last half of the verse. "Thou hast proved mine heart, thou hast visited me in the night, thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." Wow, I've set a watch on it, okay? Made purpose, I'm not going to let it do it. Proverbs 39, Psalm 39. 39th Psalm, look in verse 1. Psalm 39, verse 1. The psalmist again says this, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." The psalmist said, "I realize I need to watch it. I realize I need to watch it. I need to think about it before I say it." There's an old saying that said, "Take heed that your tongue does not cut your throat." Some people, they just talk too much. Just talk too much. Just let it be. Let it be. I've been around folks before where the parents kept their mouth shut, but the child confessed. And the parents wanted to go, "Shh, shh." Hey, take heed what you say, all right? Take heed. Set a watch on your mouth. Set a watch. Put some thought into it. Look, we've talked about not being hasty to speak. Take a little time before you just blurt something out. How many of you, be honest, you got in trouble because you spoke without thinking? You've ever got in trouble? Look how many hands are up. Boy, I have. I should have kept my mouth shut. If I'd have kept my mouth shut, I'd have been okay. But I couldn't do it, or I didn't do it, all right? Another thing you can do, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Look, there is some help for you, all right? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24. Proverbs 4, verse 24. Now the Bible says here, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. A forward mouth is one that's deceitful, crooked, twisted, and a perverse mouth obviously is one that's wicked. That obviously includes putting forth lies. Hey, if you're deceiving, what a thing to do, all right? You need to control your tongue. Control your tongue. Some people inflate stuff. You know, we talk about fishermen are noted for telling whoppers. So how long was that fish you caught? It's about this long. This long, all right? Yeah. Hey, we just get it going and we, you know, got to tell bigger, all right? But man, we ought to be careful about it. Obviously, it includes one that's filled with filth, any kind of cursing or any kind of vile stories. Look, we name the name of Christ. We profess to be born again. No way in the world we ought to talk like that. No way in the world we ought to talk like that. You said, well, I grew up in that kind of environment. There was all that kind of stuff going on. Hey, it very well could have been, but don't do it yourself, okay? You don't have to give in to that. You don't have to be a part of it. Don't listen to it. Just be careful. Put away from thee. If you're going to keep that tongue from getting you in trouble, put a forward mouth away from you. Proverbs 17. We've really said this before, but I want to emphasize it again. You're going to be able to control that thing and keep it the way it should be. Proverbs 17, verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Be sparing with your words. Hey, save some words for tomorrow. Save some words for tomorrow. Some of us, if we only had a certain maximum number we could use in a week, we wouldn't be able to talk after Tuesday. Don't use them all up. Spare it, all right? You don't have to tell all that you know. Just a little simple thing. Listen more than you speak. Listen. You know, you usually don't get in trouble listening. And it can cause people to think better of you. That's what it's all about there in verse 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, he keeps his mouth shut, is counted wise. Hey, it causes folks to think better of you. Be sparing of your words. Proverbs 27, verse 2. I'm going to run through this real quick. I don't necessarily think you have a problem with this. But boy, there's a lot of people in this world have a problem with it. Verse 2, Proverbs 27, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Man, I don't know how you feel about it, but I hate to let somebody brag about themselves. I hate to hear somebody tell how great a thing they've done, or you know what they've done, or their exalted position they hold. Hey, the Bible's plain. Leave that to other people. Leave that to other people. By the way, it pays to control your tongue. Look in Proverbs 21, verse 23. Proverbs 21, 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. It pays to control that tongue that is in your mouth, all right? It pays to control it. It pays to put it under control. Self-control. How good a job do you do at self-control? You need to be able to control your temper, your tongue, and real quickly, and I'll be done. I promise I'm going to hurry. Proverbs 30, all right? Proverbs 30, verse 32. Proverbs 30, verse 32. Here's where we have a problem. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. If you're going to control yourself, you need to control your temper, your tongue, and also your thoughts. You see, Satan works real hard to get control of our thoughts, because once that it's there, control of your thought life gives control and gives influence to all of our actions, all of our attitudes. Our actions are motivated by our thoughts. Our attitudes are motivated by our thoughts. We get up in the morning and we're in a foul mood. And people say, whoa, you got a bad attitude. It's because of your thoughts. Okay? Because of your thoughts. Now, you say, preacher, I can't help what I think. I will say this. I don't believe we can really help in a lot of ways the thoughts that come in, but we can help what we dwell on. We can help if we allow those thoughts to remain. You said, how am I going to conquer it? Psalm 94. Psalm 94. And I'm going to go fast, all right? Psalm 94, verse 11. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. You think about that. The Lord knows your thoughts. You need to realize that God knows what you're thinking. He knows, all right? Knowing He knows should motivate us to put some effort into controlling those thoughts. Knowing He knows. Now, you could have said in class when you were maybe in school, high school, grade school, whatever, in the class of your very unfavorite teacher, and the one you might even have said, I hate him or her, and looked at him, and you were saved by the fact that teacher couldn't tell what you were thinking. But God can. God knows your thoughts. That ought to make us decide, I'm going to put some effort into controlling those thoughts. I'm not going to just let them run wherever and run wild. Of course, God knows what I'm thinking. Look in Psalm 101. Psalm 101, would you? Psalm 101, look in verse 3. The psalmist said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now go, hold on to that, but go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 31. Psalm 119, verse 31. Psalm 119, verse 31. The psalmist said, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Hey, there's some things we need to protect our mind. He said, I've chosen the way of truth. In chapter 101, verse 3, he said, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Look, you said, what are you getting at, preacher? You need to protect your mind. You need to protect your mind from what you know is not acceptable to God. You need to protect. I've got written in my notes here, it's so much easier to avoid temptation than it is to resist it. If you're on a diet, favorite example, if you're on a diet, it is not wise to visit the donut shop. It's just not wise. You said, I have got a strong will. I'm going to tell you, it's easier to avoid temptation than it is to resist it. A lot easier. Usually we have the fellowship meeting here in June, invite preachers in, and we always serve coffee and donuts, you know. So I'll go down and get donuts and bring them down, and I'll open the box and I look at them, and there's never been a time when I opened the donut box that one of them didn't say, they know my name, all right? Hey, don't resist when you can run. Just take off, all right? Just take off. Your thoughts, you be so careful, okay? You need to ask God to help you. Ask Him to help put those thoughts in your mind, all right? Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. There are things we can do, okay? There are things we can do. Isaiah chapter 26, look at verse 3. You need to protect your mind. You need to realize God knows what you think. You need to, Isaiah 26, verse 3. The Bible said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That thee is on God. We need to give your mind something good to think about. Something good. Over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, We find this verse, all right? Man, what a verse and what it calls to us. It says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That kind of thing. Look, give your mind something good to think about. You know, just help him. Ask God to help you. Think about the Lord. Man, that's a good reason to read the Bible. Get your mind on the Lord. Get your mind on him. Just think about what he's done for you. Think about the love that he has for you. Unbelievable love that he has for you. And then give your mind that to think about. Turn the stupid TV off. There's very little in the television that's going to give you something good to think about. Once again, a call for honesty. How many of you have watched the news and gotten mad? I do. Yeah. Matter of fact, it's hard for me to watch news not get aggravated, all right? But hey, what else? What do we put in that mind? Our problem is we our thought life is not what it should because we've not put in there something good to think about. Read your Bible. I'd encourage you, read the biographies of great Christians. Preacher, I hate to read. Then buy something and let it read it to you. You can do that nowadays. They'll read the book to you, okay? It'll be story time at night. It won't be mom or dad reading the story, but you can have it, okay? Listen, self-control makes a huge difference in your life. It'll keep you out of trouble. It'll keep you from sin. It'll keep you from temptation. It'll keep you from destruction. A lot of people absolutely destroyed themselves because they didn't control themselves. Alexander the Great being an example. King Saul being an example. Look, you don't have to do that. Really spend some time thinking about this thing called self-control. Learn to do it. Work at it. You say, I have a hard time, work at it every day. Well, I have a real hard time, work at it real hard every day. But you put the effort in, it'll pay off. It'll pay off. Listen, you're a child of God. You don't need to be known as someone who cannot control themselves. You don't need to be known as that. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, truthfully, very simple thoughts. But Lord, something we all struggle with.